Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
And there's vision. You have a vision, yes. Right? Long-term vision that pulls you out of your ego self that's always wanting more and more and more. And you start to have a very different view of the world and your space in it, you know, your place of service to others. And I just want to point this out. Service to others does not mean you don't take care of yourself. It doesn't mean you're a martyr. It just means that you know you have a greater purpose outside of just your everyday daily reality about survival, you know, going to work, having a job, having kids, having a house, and all of that stuff that we've been told is what we need to do. This is having vision beyond that and seeing that you, every single one of us, has an ability to contribute to the vision of a better world. And it does take courage. And as you said, some people sacrifice their lives. And to be honest with you, Zen, some things are worth sacrificing this life for.
Yes, especially when you're here temporarily anyway, and you're not your body. So therefore your spirit lives on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we know many who have sacrificed themselves to bring about greater changes for the world. Yes. And, you know, those are, you know, personal choices. Of course, not everyone is asked to make those choices, but you can see how some of those choices are hugely empowering and people have made that decision. This is worth fighting for to the death.
Yes.
And yes.
Yes, certainly. So why is a mentor or a guide important in someone's life?
Sometimes it's hard to see our own stuff. Right. So even when you try to see what's going on inside of you, you become aware of your behaviors, you become aware of your thoughts and beliefs, but you still don't quite see the whole picture. So I have done all sorts of different therapy. I have been in energy therapy. I've had Reiki done. I've had emotion code. I've had normal psychotherapy. I've done all sorts of things at different times in my life because I knew that my perspective on my own was not enough. Sometimes I needed a professional to help me and to help shift some things. Some things needed to be shifted energetically. Other times I really needed to talk about certain things and they would say something that was really obvious, but I hadn't seen it because we all have blind spots, right?
Yes.
And those blind spots can really trip us up. So that's why I think a guide or a mentor or a coach, depending on what you're dealing with. Now, severe trauma, I would really urge anyone watching who has had endured severe trauma to really get therapy because there's no substitute for that. Severe trauma is extremely difficult to handle by yourself and it actually changes the brain. So you really need the help from professionals to help you in that way. Many people have not had severe trauma, so they can handle things with a coach or a life mentor or just a guide to help them along in the process and sometimes point things out to them and suggest things to them because it's a conversation, right? So I will sit and listen. We have certain forms that we fill out so I can get a background and understand this person's thinking, where they're coming from, and what it is that they're trying to achieve. And then we start working with that. I also think that collaborative work is, there's so much richness and depth in there that you cannot achieve simply on your own. So usually when I did this work, I would read materials for themselves, books that I would ask my therapist to recommend. And then I would also engage in therapy and do journaling and whatever else. So it is your journey. It is your responsibility. It is your work. But having that guide along also allows you to lean a little bit on someone who is compassionate and caring and has your best interests at heart.
Nice. Most certainly. And that is very important, as you know, that probably that quote that says no man is an island. Also,
exactly.
When people are saying, I did this, was that, this is a quote people use. They said, kind of like, I did this all by myself. And I'm like, no. Oh, self-made, that's the word. I'm like, no one is self-made. What is that self-made? Like,
exactly.
If I have a company, how's that, and then I'm a billionaire, you aren't self-made. You had people that work with you, so collaboration, and people need to change that mindset. And most people usually say self-made, I feel like there's that big ego of that blind spot there, because then you're not grateful for people who purchased your stuff or for employees and people who supported you. Because if you're doing anything monetarily, people will support you, and that's how you become the success. And so I see, and as you change your mind, I see everything and everyone as a piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
Like Absolutely. It or not, it's life and it's part of a piece of the puzzle. I went through some traumatic experience in 2020, not COVID related, but with a person. And I'm glad that I do the work that I did, because it will be more traumatic. I've discovered new things about me that I didn't know. And that was the traumatic part, because I'm like, oh my God, it's like you're taking a surprise. But knowing that person is part of the piece of the puzzle, and it's a collaboration for my growth, you know, life happens for you and not to you like a bad thing.
Yes.
Till this day, when I think of that person, although it was traumatic, I only have love, because I see that person as he's my servant. And when I say servant, when I say that to people, people think servant means like someone below, but it's not. Someone who's cleaning your bathroom in your corporation is actually, yeah, they're a servant, but they're not below, because they are piece of the puzzle. Because exactly. without a clean bathroom, how's your place gonna be? And so that person is actually, not that I put anyone high or low, but I have high respect for those people, if anything.
And sometimes
CEO.
And sometimes people come into our lives because they're meant to teach us certain things about ourselves that we will not see unless we go through a very painful, difficult situation. And sometimes that situation can be a relationship that's long term, and we keep beating our head against the wall over and over until we finally wake up. I'm talking about myself. This was my marriage did that to me. And it was only after the breakup of my marriage that I started to wake up and started to see certain things about myself that needed to be shifted. And it was a very shocking experience, but it was absolutely necessary. So yes, I'm, that's why I always say, you know, like, there are no mistakes. It's just learning experiences. It's working through karma. It's things that we came here to do. And it's just part of our experience of being.
Yes. And I think Dr. Wayne Dyer would say, if I'm not misquoting him, he says, be in love with the process and not the angle. So basically live in the present and have acceptance, because when you're so stuck of like, it was a mistake, or this person did this to me, there goes your blind. Because if I did that with that person, I'll have resentment, hate, and not, I would not change. I've changed like fivefold because of that. And as I mentioned, I only still just have love for that person. But if I was had that blind spot, I would have the resentment and hate. And when I talk about that person, it will be that, but now I learned, and I'm grateful for my growth that I've
gained
that experience. So what are some steps? Because you mentioned how you work with women, but are there like either some words or, you know, like, maybe like the 12 steps people go through AA, let's just say five. What are some five steps someone can take to either change their lives when they, let's say if they're even not working with you, but if you just say it, that if they're like a self-help person, they can be like, okay, these are the five words. And those words can be expanded, of course, like they can change their lives?
So I don't believe in formulas, and I don't believe in 5, 10 steps, whatever. I think every person is an individual, and they're at a different place in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And every person is an amalgamation of so many things, right? But I would definitely say that the place to start is becoming aware of your thinking and your feelings and identifying them and starting to journal and starting to realize, how often do you say to yourself, you're an idiot? How often do you beat yourself up? How often do you look in the mirror and say, oh my God, you know, these kinds of things. How often do you deny yourself self-care? How often do you not go for an opportunity because you just don't think you're good enough? So the first step is definitely self-awareness. And this is an ongoing process. So once you become aware of those negative messages that you have in the programming, it's a matter of starting to unravel that and thinking, okay, what if I turn this around and say, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not young enough. What if you say, I have gained all this wisdom throughout my life? No, I'm not 25 anymore. And I'm not as beautiful as I used to be, but there's a lot more that I have to offer the world. So creating empowering beliefs for yourself. I have an exercise that I do that I found very powerful. Letting go of limiting beliefs. So I make a list and it says, I release blah, blah, blah. I release blah, blah, blah. So it's this list I made. And then I recorded it in my own voice.
Oh, wow.
And with music, gentle music in the background. And I listen to it before I go to bed for 30 days because that starts to work on your subconscious. So your subconscious is programmable. And that time just before you go to sleep is when it's most susceptible. So releasing all of these terrible beliefs you have, negative beliefs, and then installing, you know, recording positive ones. But don't go by people's affirmations, not something that you hear somebody else say. Something you really can connect to and you can see yourself starting to believe. So these are just a couple of things that every person can do. Every person can start doing. And there's all sorts of programs people can take as far as empowerment goes, as far as changing your thinking and your behavior. There's tons of stuff out there. So that's why I don't believe that, you know, there's a particular formula that works for everyone. Mm-hmm. But becoming self-aware is actually connecting to your inner essence and your internal guidance system, which is your intuition and what is happening inside of you, you know. The body is always talking to us. The body is always giving us messages. We just don't listen to it. And mm-hmm. learning how to listen to that and being quiet with yourself, quieting your ruminating mind. So meditations are very helpful, right? Because they quiet the mind, even if you start with guided meditations to get you into another space. And then, you know, for me, speaking from my own personal experience, having a spiritual belief, having some sort of grounding that anchors you into the reality of this is not all there is. And it's, to me, it's very important to have that knowledge, right? That this is not all there is, because we don't get so caught up in the drama.
Yes.
These are roles that we're playing that we have agreed to. And as you said, we're all pieces of the puzzle and we all fit into the collective consciousness. So instead of beating yourself up and being hard on yourself and not being self-compassionate, try it the other way around and see the results you're going to have. And yeah. Surround yourself with positive people who support you. That's really huge.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Two things is the support around you. We need to reach out to other people. And I've noticed that it's easier. For some reason, I don't know, but it seems like it has been easier to reach out to strangers than friends and family for some reason. That's another psychological talk. but it's good because people would be like, oh, they're a stranger. I don't want to bother them. But in my experience, and I've noticed it's easier and strangers are like there to help people out. So even if someone is a stranger, of course, friends and family you can reach out to because no man is an island. We need each other's support, most certainly.
Exactly. And lots of women are actually very reluctant to ask for help because right. They feel they should do everything by themselves, which is, you know, which is ridiculous. Nobody can do everything by themselves.
Right. I did saw a meme that says, I don't know if you know those American terms. There's a meme of a Black woman. She says, I'm tired to being the strong Black woman. And then they saw the meme, like she's like taking care of children, going to work and doing all this stuff and protests And her, she's like, I have millions of arms doing everything. Right. And she says, I'm tired of being a strong Black woman. Can she just be a woman or a being that doesn't need to do everything? And so, yes, yeah, definitely. We don't need to do everything. And I had to learn that in my work as a manager. And I would even work with the employees, and most people would be like, shouldn't you be in the office like twiddling your thumb and go smoke in the back and do nothing? But I also saw a meme that says that there are managers and there are leaders, and I'm a leader. I like to work with the people. But I also had to learn is that there's roles. I don't need to do what the people are doing because I need to delegate. That's the word. I need to delegate work, and I don't need to do everything. And so, so it's something I had to learn as well. So
very true.
Yeah. If a woman watching this decides to work with you, what will they be getting? What is your program?
So, I mean, there's two things. So I mentioned too that I'm doing a training program now for women. I have a joint venture with a business partner, and we're creating a women's empowerment program. And there are three different courses. One is on confidence, one is on boundaries, and the third one is on communication. So we're taking this program now actually into the corporate world, because there are so many women there who feel disempowered. And there's all of this potential that's just bubbling below the surface, but you know, people are not even aware that they have it. So again, you know, when it comes to this kind of work, what I can promise is that you will become more self-aware, that you will start to see your stuff. I don't want to say see your shit, but yeah. the harder you work, the more that you will progress, and you will shift if you're willing to do it and if you don't back off. You know, when the going starts to get tough and you start to see some things about yourself you were not expecting, there's fear. There's fear about, you know, seeing those things face on and dealing with them. So these are your shadows, right? These are the parts of yourself you don't like, you've kind of set aside and suppressed, and I'm not like that. Well, those shadows have the most important messages for you, because that's where the truth really resides. So when you can see your shadows and work through them, integrate them, and get their message and their importance, that's when real transformation happens. So, you know, it's up to every person how far they're going to take it on their journey. And people are at different levels, and sometimes they back away and then they come back months later and I've thought about what you said and I did some more journaling and I did this and I did that and now I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's this progression that happens according to every single person. It happens according to how their path needs to unfold. And sometimes during this time, they leave relationships, they leave jobs, they already make changes because they've understood that this is not working for them.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest piece is knowing more about yourself and the things you need to work on. That's what working with me will get you, and a compassionate, caring, empathetic guide who will be with you every step of the way.
Yeah, most certainly. The last thing you mentioned, I feel it. I enjoyed speaking to you. Yeah, and yeah, you're wonderful. And
thank you.
I feel it. As you also probably already know, it's like, we believe in energy, and I feel the energy is already there. And I'm not so stuck on, you know, when they say it's how you say it, it's not what you say. I get in a materialistic world, yes. But since I'm like further into spirituality, someone can say something, and I feel like how you say it can also be perceived too. So therefore, instead of banking on that, I bank on energy. I feel like, what is the energy there? Because actually it's a conversation I've had with people, even on this interview, like, I feel like all my life, when I speak, I scream. And I don't like that, like for myself, but also people have mentioned that people who are different, they think, actually I had someone mentioned saying, I seem angry. And I was like, and I had to like go and think about it. And I was just like, well, I really thought about it, honestly. And then I love watching different things. And it seems like I was watching different things, especially with Black women. It seems like it's a culture thing where mm-hmm. somehow Black people are loud. And they have meme, like, I'm into humor, and there's a meme that says, like, do Black people know about indoors and outdoors? And because I see those things, I watch my surroundings, and I do see that other cultures, when they're indoors, they're quieter, or even outside. And I do notice with the voice thing, and I don't do it for other people, but I just want to do something different because it bothers me. But I guess I could be in a state of acceptance where I cannot help being passionate when I speak. When I speak, I'm passionate. And as I watch the other videos, a lot of people say people mistake their passion with anger or being like big.
Aggression.
Or like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then as I watch these people and I watch myself, I was like, truly, it's not that. I'm not trying to overpowering everybody. And but I'm just passionate and my voice is
I don't
like,
see you like that. I don't see you overpowering at all.
I don't see myself like that either. And so this is why it's like so hard and confusing, because when someone say that and I'm like, are you actually seeing the perception, or are you feeling the energy? Because my energy is calming and empathetic and compassionate and want to collaborate. And it's not what you perceiving, which is like a material worldy thing. And so definitely what last thing you mentioned, like I do feel as if we're in the same room and I've known you and I do feel your energy. So yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
So I was reading a thing that's, before I ask that question, can you work with someone who is not ready? And I asked that question because I've noticed I speak with a lot of people who were using drugs, and then they often mention they are where they are now because they were ready. And yes, some people weren't ready for 30 years. And I was like, how can you use for 30 years? But they weren't ready. So how important is being ready?
Very important. It's like, a lot of witnesses don't leave until they're in their 50s because they're not ready. Women do not leave bad marriages for many, many years because they're not ready. People are not ready to embark on a self-development journey because they're just not at that point. There's other things that need to happen, because when you embark on this journey, as we said, it takes work and discipline and commitment. Because no one can do it for you. I'm not going to be able to make those changes for you. I can guide you. I can give you tools. I can support you. I can love you through it. But it's still up to you. So however much you're willing to give is what you'll get back. Mm-hmm. And if you're not ready to take that journey, you're just not going to do it. And no one can change that. Mm-hmm. You're always in control of that process. So I have an intake form that I give to anyone who wants to work with me. And based on that intake form, I decide if they're ready or not.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So someone who still, for example, is still very deeply steeped in religious beliefs and has rigidity in thinking, they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to cascade into all the beliefs they have about themselves. Lots of people think this is who I am and this is it. So they're kind of petrified, right? They're petrified in whatever it is that they define themselves at. So people like that cannot understand the process of transformation, because to them it's unthinkable. What does that mean? I'm not going to be me? No. Right? So you have to have the courage to see yourself fully, including the shadows, which is what I said, where your most important gems reside. And once you uncover that, it's kind of like an excavation process. And then we work with that. So yes, being ready is essential.
What are your offerings, as I was reading on your website?
So I do some work that is to do with tarot reading. And I use tarot as part of my guidance. So there are three separate things. We do 3-month programs or 6-month programs, which some of them include the tarot, some of them don't. What I've learned from my experience is that 3 months is the minimum amount of time for anyone to be able to make any changes to their lives. It takes mm-hmm. that long to work through and put the work in and start to see yourself in a different space. And that's just beginning. 6 months is really more of an attainable goal. So if you go on my services page, my offerings page, you will see there's different programs there. And as I said, some of them, so the tarot is connected to archetypal energies, and it just gives us more insight into what's going on. I also use numerology and astrology because I think all of these modalities are fascinating, and they give you little pieces of the puzzle. And it's not all about this life now, but it's also about what's happened before. And it gives you a more well-rounded picture of what's going on. It's really quite interesting to use it in this way. So you need to be open-minded to be able to accept this kind of work and not to have rigidity around, you know, what can be used and what cannot. Well, I mean, we've already talked about it, right? Like I said, I think we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so our bodies and our lives here are not the most important things. This is like a transition place that we come to learn lessons, to do different things, to, as I said, heal generational trauma, to heal our own karma that we have with others. And there's all sorts of spiritual purposes why we come here. So if you're able to adopt that view, it sets you free in a way, because this is not all there is. And you know that there's so much more and that this doesn't need to define you. So your situation in this life doesn't necessarily define who you are as a soul, which is an eternal being. That's an energy being. And so that is our eternal truth. And, you know, it was interesting because I knew since I was a child that this physical reality is kind of like one piece of the multi-layered cake. This is one dimension of many. And it's not the only dimension, but it's the only one we see with our physical eyes. And so we tend to think that this is all there is, but that's not true. There are many other dimensions we just can't access with our physical senses. Like, you know, cats and dogs can hear things that we can't, can see things that we can't, and all sorts of their senses are much more acute than ours. So their universe is actually very different than ours, right? Mm. And that's just a very small example. So yeah, that was the whole thing about spirituality, because it is at the core of basically who I am and how I work with people. So I tune them into that so that they realize this is not a small defined you. There's a much greater being beyond this physical body.
And it's something I believe in, and you can tell me how you feel or think, but it doesn't need to be your thing. But I feel that it is more important, if not the most important, to be spiritual instead of being religious and have dogma. Absolutely. However, it seems like I've noticed, even managing a home or managing people at work when I did work, that people need structure. So maybe that's why there is religion. But at the same time,
we are taught, right? We are programmed to think that we need to have that. We need to have a church. We need to have a priest. We need to have a go-between, because you're just a lowly sinner. And why would God talk to you? So that whole, you know, that whole grounding belief is completely bullshit. Mm-hmm. It is nonsense, because the creator of the universe views all of us the same way. We are all its creations. It's not a him. Doesn't have a gender. It's the creator. So yes, you can have a personal relationship with the creator if you so wish, but people are not used to thinking for themselves. They're not used to having autonomy. They are used to being plugged into a system like the Matrix, right? Being plugged into that system and told how to live, how to think, how to behave. And this is like very robotic. And so my aim here is to wake people up and to tell them that's not really how it is. You get to choose in every moment. You just don't realize it. And you often choose what you've been taught because it's habitual and it's what is approved by society, by your family, by your parents, by your friends. It's approved. And so those people who are rebels and who see things differently are often outcasts, and nobody wants to be an outcast. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole thing about authenticity and really following your deepest intuition and guidance. And that's also what I teach people, is to follow that, because often the path is very meandering, but it is your path and you need to walk it that way and not compare yourself to A, B, C, and D who have a straightforward progression. That doesn't matter. What matters is your path and how you walk it.
Authenticity definitely breeds freedom and empowerment. Definitely. Exactly. Regardless what's happening around you, because don't be identified with what's in the world. Yes.
Exactly.
So how can someone watching or listening this find your work and work with you if they decide to?
So my website, as you said, is phoenixontherise.com. All they have to do is send me an email and just say, you know, I saw you on the Zen show. I'm really curious. Can you get back to me? And then we start a conversation. It's very simple. I'm very flexible. I don't have protocols and things, but I do like to talk to the person so I can also get their energy, as you said.
Yeah.
That makes, right? Then you really know. There has to be a fit. And this is why sometimes therapy doesn't work for certain people, because they haven't found the right person to work with.
Yes.
This is hugely important to the process. Right. So yeah, so it's pretty straightforward. And I have a YouTube channel. They can watch me. They can listen to me. So they'll get an idea of what I'm like. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And nothing bad about Tim Ferriss or Tony Robbins, because I have friends who really love them and say, you need to watch them. But the energy, I cannot feel the energy. I watch it. I'm like, this is not for me. But when I discovered Sadhguru and Dr. Wayne Dyer and Louise Hayes, I felt it. And what's her name? Ileana Vincent. Like, I felt it. It was the energy. There was that connection there. And of course, like Tony Robbins, like, I've seen some of his stuff that are written. Of course, like, sometimes I'm not into it, but just like when there's that speaking part, the connection is not there. But if I read something, it's fine. And so having that connection or that energy that matches is really important. And so, as you mentioned with the therapy stuff, there are some books I read and I'm just like, ugh, I'm bored. But it's a great book.
Like Eckhart Tolle, right? Book. Eckhart Tolle, I cannot connect to.
It's funny you say that. Yeah, same.
I'm just like, oh, I can't. It's just not for me. So, right? So what is the point of trying to force yourself? Maybe someday, but right now it's just not my thing.
It's funny you mentioned him, because someone did and they're like, oh, this is a this is a person you could. And then I went, I was like, I could not. I was forcing because I didn't want to be closed-minded, but at the same time, I had to accept that it's okay, because a lot of people are saying basically like kind of not new things or the same thing, but they're saying things in their way that you can connect with. And I'm sure like I probably won't connect with everybody either. So, and it's okay.
Exactly. It's okay. And that's what we need to give ourselves permission. It's okay.
So if you're watching this, I hope you enjoy the show as well as I did. And I felt connected to you, definitely. And I love your energy and I love the work that you do. And it is very important. And please, if you are a woman or if you're not a woman and you feel that things are great, please just open your mind and have a different perspective and listen to someone who doesn't look like you. So you can have a different perspective, because there's 8 billion people in the world and we all are different and we all need that connection. We all need that someone can look at us and see us as a being instead of all the shenanigans that's happening in the world. So is there anything else that you like to tell us?
I just want to tell the ladies that I have a Facebook group. That I think you're going to post the link to, right?
Yes, I have the link. Yep.
Yeah. It's called Women's Spirituality, Wisdom and Empowerment Hub. And we talk about all these ideas there. And it's a very supportive, loving group. There's over 560 women right now. And I started it about a year ago and I had no idea that it was going to grow to this extent. And it's something I'm very proud of. So it's ongoing support for each other. There's been some issues that have come up and women have been very supportive. There's no trolling, there's no bullying, there's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. The vibe is very, very high. So I invite you to click on the link and check out the group. And other than that, the last message I want to leave everyone with is that you're not weak and you're not stupid and you're not incapable or helpless. You have to empower yourself. You have to open your mind and open yourself to opportunities and to the idea that, yes, you are a powerful, beautiful, amazing being.
Thank you for that message. And thank you for your work as well. Thank you so much, Ilana, for being here with us today. I certainly appreciate you. And your story and your work is very inspiring.
Thank you so much, Zen. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Same. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.